that. Let's head down to Fremantle now. Who better to talk to than little champ here, myself, Peter Bell. G'day, Belly.
Morning, Brad. Kim, how you going?
Good, thanks, Belly.
We're going really well. Had a little scratch match yesterday. Before we get into that, though, I'm sure Haggers would like to put something to you.
Belly, we've just revealed that I understand that Nathan Fyfe is headed for some surgery on that elbow. He's been carrying it for quite some time. How much more can you tell us?
Yeah, look, that's the plan, Kim. He's got a look. I'm no bursa expert, but he's got an inflamed bursa on his elbow, and that's why he's been wearing that sleeve. So the plan is at the moment that he'll go in for a small procedure. It might require a one-night stay, but it'll be a really minor procedure. He'll be back up and running in no time after that and back into the pre-season.
What's your worst, or sorry, your best-case scenario? You're saying minor, could be up in a short period of time. Can you put a few days or weeks on it?
Look, I wouldn't think that it'd be getting into the weeks. I think it'd be back into full training really, really quickly, and then we'll just manage with how he comes through that, whether he's JLT1 or JLT2. We're confident that he'll be playing a major part in the pre-season games.
Belly, where did you make the decision to do that? Because wouldn't you rather him miss last night and get it out of the way and come up clean?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because you don't make a decision to send someone off for surgery flippantly, but he got a knock on it a couple of weeks ago and it did swell up, and he said it was really painful. And when Nat Fyfe says something's painful, if you think back to, here's a guy who played with a broken leg for a game a few years ago for a quarter or so and performed really well. So he's obviously got a really high pain threshold, and he said it was painful. Do you run the risk that happens during the season proper and he misses a game, or do you just decide, no, let's go and have the procedure and get it done? But at the same time, we wanted to have a bit of time to think about that and see how it settled down, because, again, you don't want to send players off for surgery unless it's absolutely necessary.
He's a strong-willed person, it seems to me. Were you able to be quite forceful with him, or did he push back and say, well, no, I want to get the AFLX done, let's have a look at it then? How strong were you and Ross Lyon and Steve Rosich with him?
Yeah, we're all, and the medical team most importantly, we were really strong, but Nathan's really open and it's a collaborative approach, and we thought that was the best track to go down. It's not great to have anyone off having surgery, obviously, but he's been able to do a mountain of work. And again, we think he'll be participating in a big way in the pre-season. You would have seen last night, he's moving really well. So certainly there's no dramas over his conditioning at all. So, yeah, again, a really minor procedure, and he'll be back out there and firing, hopefully.
Belly, you had a scratch match. How did that go?
Yeah, there was some good and some areas to work on, Brad. It was really exciting to see the guys out there after a long pre-season. So they want to blow off the cobwebs as well. It's good to see our new recruits acquit themselves well. I thought Jesse did well, and Travis Collier showed some signs as well. Rory Lobbs. So it was good to see those guys and others, some of our new draftees. But look, some areas to improve on as well. There's no secret with our forward line. We'd like to get it in there a bit more directly and as many times as we possibly can. But at the same time, we've got to have a ball movement that allows us to defend as well. So some positive signs, but plenty of areas to work on as well, Brad.
There's plenty that I could fire at you, and a few names in a moment. But one thing that I did notice yesterday, and you talk about your movement in, I thought it was significant that your preferred back six defenders played on probably your preferred set of forwards. And I thought the backs actually made it very difficult and gave the B team a very good chance, made it awkward. Is that deliberate, to make the likes of Hogan and Lobb and Tabiner work that much harder?
Yeah, it's a really interesting debate that we had about that, Kim. You're spot on. Do you go with a sort of probables and possibles, or to try and match up your best defenders or perceived best defenders at the time? But we mixed and matched a little bit. But, Alex Pearce and I thought Griffin Logue showed a bit last night after a disappointing year last year because of injury. So there was a bit to like about it. In the end, it was a very even contest, actually. But it was an interesting debate that we had.
It's probably a bit too simplistic, but to me it looks as though bringing in Lobb, bringing in Hogan, assume they hold their spots, they're your number one and two forwards, probably. Matt Tabiner could sneak under the radar and have a pretty good year as a third tool forward. I thought he was very impressive.
I hope you're right, Kim. Obviously, those first two guys are going to attract quality defenders.
Yeah.
And if you think back to Tabiner at the start of last year, look, he was really clunking his marks, and his approach to his training is first rate. So, look, there's an opportunity there. We're going to challenge some defences. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, these guys have got to be able to recover quickly and put pressure on, because if they don't mark it, you can't have the ball being swept out of your forward line.
Belly, new adjustments, 6-6 and 6 and a few other things, bring the ball in quickly from full back. Many had varied opinions on it. Brad Scott saying, oh, the weak sides will get smashed more, and this type of thing. Some defenders saying, oh, I don't like it, you know, one-on-one too much for me. Some are saying it'll be great. How have you found the new rules? Has anything started to sort of even itself out?
Yeah, the interesting one, I reckon, is the centre bounce. There does seem to be a little bit of more space, so getting that mix in there, I mean, it's really important to have your contested ball winners as well, and if you've got a dominant ruckman, then that's going to be greatly to your advantage as well. But just the numbers sort of collapsing into that square, it makes it a little bit harder to protect. So if you've got a bit of speed in there and you can burst out of that congestion, there will be a bit of space, and realistically, that's going to mean there's a few more one-on-ones forward of the footy.
Billy, Jesse Hogan's probably becoming your biggest profile player outside of Nathan Fyfe, the way since he settled in. But and there's going to be great expectations that he and Lobb and perhaps a changed game plan will help great hope for Fremantle. Do you work with someone like Jesse Hogan on him how to cope with these great expectations around our town and probably even the competition, emotionally, mentally, away from his playing game?
Yeah, obviously I work with all of the players, and I have had conversations about this with Jesse. There is outside the football club enormous expectation on Jesse, but internally we tell him we just expect him to compete, work hard and train hard, and he's done that to a T over the pre-season. Just watching him last night, just his ability for second and third efforts to keep other players involved in the footy, and as I spoke about earlier, our tall guys have got to put on forward pressure, and he really led from the front, I thought, last night. If he continues to do that, then that's the really pleasing aspect to his game, and we even threw him through the midfield at times, which he's done at Melbourne as well, and he's a big body. He's got an enormous tank. He can really run, and having a big body in there as well allows potential mismatches as well. So, and gets him around the action as well. If the ball hasn't come inside 50 for a period of time, then he's got the full licence and authority to switch up into the midfield.
Billy, you've got a few players with a few niggles. Did anybody not play that should have played last night? I heard Hayden Ballantyne didn't have a run. Is there anything wrong with him?
He's just a little bit sore, so he'll be fine for JLT1. So we managed him through it, and there's obviously a few longer-term injuries that we have to manage as well. But all in all, we got a lot of game time into the majority of players, barring those sort of longer-term injuries.
But two of those bigger name, longer-term ones, one will be Sandlands, and naturally the other one, Stephen Hill. Where are they at?
Stephen's progressing really, really well, Kim. He's coming along really well. He's kicking the footy. He's been running at full pace as well. So we'll just continue on with his program. Can't really put an exact time frame on it, but absolutely been thrilled with the way his rehab's gone. Aaron's managing his calves, and obviously he hasn't played a lot of footy over the past couple of years, and they have been a real area of concern. So we'll just work with him through his management, and hopefully we can get him playing some footy pretty soon.
Just and quickly on the other end of the scale is some of your draftees. Sam Sturt, Luke Valente, I haven't actually seen him play a practice match as yet. Where are they at? Are they any prospect for early round selections?
Yeah, I wouldn't put an obstacle on any player. Sam played last night and showed some glimpses of his athleticism and his speed. You would have seen a couple of times there, Kim. He got the ball, took ground, and a beautiful kick on him as well. So we were really pleased with that. He's put on some kilograms. He's got a few more to put on as well. But, of course, we'll be really, really patient with him. Luke's a little bit different. He's going through a sort of groin strengthening program currently. He's been really diligent on that. Look, he'll be back into full training pretty soon.
Billy, obviously the Harley Bunnell situation is frustrating for you and him. Is there any thought or any inclination at all that you come to an agreement with him and maybe do something by that time that window's ready to close to get another player on the list?
No, we haven't had that conversation, but you're right. It's been incredibly frustrating. I guess the public don't see all of the work that he puts into his rehabilitation. And look, it was really frustrating first to get the tightness and then the little strain as well. But it's really, really minor at this stage. He's got a lot of work in as far as Harley's been able to do compared to years previous. He put it in a stack of work before Christmas. So he's got a pretty good base there, and we'll just keep working through the program. But no talks about retirement or anything like that with Harley or any other player.
Pete, why did Joel Hamling get withdrawn from the AFLX? And Michael Walters is another one that I believe was held out from AFLX with injury sort of surveillance, I suppose. But why did Hamling and Walters, Hamling particularly, get drawn out and yet kept training, played last week in your intra-club and then certainly played in yesterday's?
Yeah, look, again, it's a consultative process. We're not in the business of banning anyone from attending anything, particularly something as important as Indigenous camp. We've had a rich history with players representing our club, and we sent three of our staff over and a couple of players, and We would have liked to have sent more players, but Joel in particular had some just calf awareness, and we thought that it best in consultation and collaboration with him that he be at the club, and he managed to play last night. The other thing is it's a difficult one too, Kim, because there's the AFLX that was in there as well, and then our players have got a mandated four-day break as well, which meant for a number of players that would be a long time away from the club. But we encourage them to go, but in the end, the decision's theirs, and with round one as their primary focus, a number of the guys elected to stay at the club.
We're speaking with Fremantle footy manager Peter Bell. Belly, look, every club wants to start well. That's a given, but it's more so for you. I mean, you want to get away to a flying start this season. There's going to be no risks. I mean, if a bloke's not right for round one, he's just not right.
No, we'll be super conservative, Brad. You're right. We want to start this season well. Everyone does. But we think it's really important for our group to get a bit of momentum. But we won't be risking any players. So, obviously, there's some criteria that they have to get through to be available for round one. We've got a couple of JLT games and also a match sim on the 17th of March. And there's a Peel Thunder game as well on the 16th. So we'll manage our way through that. But in no way we'll be risking any player who's not 100% fully fit.
Unless he's Nathan Fyfe. What if Fyfe's battle went to about the 22nd or 23rd of March, and then he said to you, "Oh, it's a bit like the AFLX, Belly. I'm not too bad. I think I'm okay, but I reckon I want to play. Strap it up, and I'll play." What about if it's Nathan Fyfe for round one?
That's over to the doctors, Haggers. Over to the doctors, and they can make the decision.
That's like a handball to Wayne Carey, and then.
And so it looks as though there was no problems last night. Obviously, Fyfe, you knew about. Bradley Hill came through okay. Nathan Wilson, no dramas there.
Yeah, we were fortunate that we had our physio over there as well. He was the team physio for Nathan's team, which was terrific. And he would have been there also to assist. And I'm sure the guys have done their recovery this morning over there in Melbourne. And yeah, the reports are they've all come through no problems.
One thing I did notice yesterday was how it was quite spirited. I noticed, a couple of times blokes were nobbled a bit off the ball. Walters copped a whack and went down. But the only injury concern that I detected, Pete, was Sean Darcy, a slight hamstring. Any dramas there?
Yeah, Sean's is a little bit sore, Haggers, through that area. So the medical staff will, I'm sure he had... from memory, he had the ice on it as well,
yeah.
So he'll be being assessed. And if we think it's appropriate, we'll send him off for a scan. So watch your space on that one, I suppose. But yeah, he did have some awareness in his hamstring yesterday.
Belly, you approached James Hurd a year or so ago, or not you personally, but the club did. The report surfaced yesterday that maybe Lee Montagna could be a chance to do that particular gig. Is that on, or is it not on, or is it confirmed, or?
Yeah, that's confirmed, Brad, the opposition analyst. Lee, obviously, his footballing reputation speaks for itself. But, look, he's a really astute guy. He's only recently retired as well. Does have a previous working relationship with Ross, so has a really good understanding of what Ross is looking for from an opposition analysis point of view. And he's really enthusiastic and going to be dedicated. I think he'll do a great job working in with our coaches, working towards an analysis of what the Oppo are doing.
Is the job harder than you thought?
Yes, but I'm loving it. It's great to be back in football. It's great to be helping Fremantle as well. And look, to be honest, I'm learning something every single day. It's a big job, but there's a lot of energy around Fremantle, and again, hopefully we can get off to a flyer.
Well, a bit of water to go under the bridge yet, but Haggers and I are both discussing during the week possibility of maybe in 2022 a reserves team coming in for all of the clubs around the country. Would you be... For that, would you be concerned about the waffle, having been a little champ yourself, starting with the Mighty Bulldogs?
Yeah, that's over. I mean, I saw those reports during the week as well. And actually, Steve Hocking's in town this week as well. So we'll have a chat to him about that. But I've got to stress, from Fremantle's point of view, the relationship with Peel's a really good one. And it's working really well for us. And I think, obviously, with Peel winning a couple of premierships, it's been really good for them as well. So we'll listen and see where it goes and see what the AFL are thinking. But our relationship with Peel is really valued.
Just while you're being honest, and we're running out of time, but there's still so many things we could talk to you about, but it happens so rarely, Peter. Will you be involved in contract talks for the likes of, you know, senior players Stephen Hill, Joel Hanling in time to come, or is that your list manager and Steve Rosh? Do you get involved in those?
Oh, yeah, I have an input, that's for sure. Yep. Primarily, that's Mark McAuliffe's job as new list manager. But, yeah, absolutely, it's a team effort as well. So I give my advice, as does Steve Rosic, and input, and even our medical staff, doctors, and coaching staff as well. So it's a real team effort there, but the responsibility of that lies with Mark McAuliffe, yeah.
Billy, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Good on you guys. Thanks so much.